you in the 06010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's live stream is presented by EA Madden NFL 22. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter and YouTube pages, as well as the ESPN Fantasy Facebook feed, also on the ESPN app. And if you're listening to the audio feed, today's podcast is presented by Geico. Find Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. Good Monday morning to you, Field Yates, Matthew Berry, and Stefania Bell here, as well as Daniel Dopp. How was your guys' weekend? I'll start with you, Stefania.
Until last night, it was pretty decent. It did not end well.
The fact that you're here today is a testament to your courage and your dedication as Stefania's 49ers lost in heartbreaking fashion yesterday. See, Matthew's team makes it easy on him. They just get smoked.
Smoked.
For real.
There you go. There you go. Just like, whoo.
Yeah, it wasn't
like,
pretty.
Every Bills fan, every Bills coach, it's just like, smoke them if you got them. Like, smoke, you know what I mean? Like, it just, that was easy. Yeah, that was easy. I mean, like, honestly, like, it wasn't as close as the score.
Yeah, it was a tough one. It was a tough one. But Antonio Gibson
wasn't a tough one. It was easy for them.
It was a tough one.
Our vaunted defense is brutal.
Oh, they stink. They stink.
They're bad.
Now. Numbers are bad. I posted them this morning. It's impressively bad. They are now 29th in scoring. I mean, they're second in yards allowed. They only have 6 sacks,
they
2 turnovers.
They are on pace to be the worst team in terms of third down. I don't know how you would phrase it. Percentage, like just in terms of getting off the field on third down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, teams convert on third down at a higher percentage against the Washington football team this year than at any point in history. They're on pace to set the NFL record.
That seems like a bad thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
that's,
I mean, I tweeted it. Anyway, so yeah, go ahead. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, how it is, I'll just very quickly. So, Burgundy Blog.
Doubtful.
I follow this guy at Burgundy Blog, who does a great job covering Washington. And he writes, the worst third down defense of the last two decades was the San Diego Chargers in 2011, who allowed opponents to convert at 49.2%. Washington currently allowing 60%.
Not
60%
great.
60% conversion on third down. So, yeah, we were out of it quickly and early. We weren't tortured like Daniel or Stefania.
Yeah, we'll get into
who got
that
tortured
a little bit later.
Late in the game.
Well, nowhere to go but up for Washington. Stefania, let's get right to the injuries. And an injury that took place last week that we thought was going to allow Dalvin Cook to be back on the field yesterday, it did not. What can you tell us about Dalvin Cook's ankle issue?
Well, it did not get better as the week progressed. And I think Mike Zimmer's optimism had us all thinking and assuming that Dalvin Cook would be playing. But as he did not return to the field of practice and the tone started to change a little bit as the week went on. And again, I think that everyone is looking at the season with perspective, understanding that not only are we only at week 3, but we're adding another week to the season, and they opted to rest him on Sunday, Alexander Mattison playing as well. We should hear from Mike Zimmer this afternoon and see if there's any update on Cook's status for this week.
The Vikings are in the midst of a 3-game homestand. They play Cleveland next. The good news is if Dalvin Cook is out, you know who to turn to. It's Alexander Mattison, who yesterday was awesome. He had 112 rushing yards. He had 8 targets. He caught 6 of those 8 targets. One of the best running backs in football for fantasy yesterday. An easy plug and play if we do not have Dalvin Cook next Sunday. We'll talk about him throughout the week. He should be rostered in all leagues. He's currently available in 59% of leagues. But this is the classic one-for-one fantasy substitution.
Field, you and I have not had this discussion recently. I don't remember your take on this, but this is something that comes up every preseason during draft season.
Whether you should insure your running back or not.
I've always been pro insurance your running back. This is obviously a great case of where that worked out.
Yep.
Where do you fall on that?
When there is a clear and obvious insurance piece in place, then I'm all for it. An Alexander Mattison type, a Tony Pollard type. Kareem Hunt is not
a bad example
because he's so good
when Nick Chubb is there.
Right. But there are other examples where I think you need to do it. Where Tony Jones in New Orleans, for example.
Sure.
Derrick Henry would be an exception where I'm like, I don't even know who it would be behind him in Tennessee. But yes, this is a good reason why you should consider insuring your top running back, especially if there is an obvious next man up. Let's keep things moving here, Stefania, on the injury front. And as we know, A.J. Brown's had a tough start to the season. It gets tougher yesterday.
added with a hamstring injury. You know, he left in the first quarter or the first half. And when he came back in the second half, he was in street clothes on the sideline. It was pretty apparent that he was ruled out quickly. So a hamstring injury for him. We've seen him be managed regularly during the week because of a knee issue, which he had arthroscopic surgery for in the offseason. This is something new.
Matthew, you can disagree with me if you like, but I see no Titans pass catcher that steps up into a more prominent role that you say, all right, hey, I'm now adding that player off of waivers. I think one of the most interesting, and I don't think it's a direct trickle down of A.J. Brown, but it is something that caught my eye, is that Derrick Henry is now up to 12 catches this season. 19 is the most he's ever had in a year.
That's right.
So Derrick Henry is now on pace for 68 catches. 68 for a guy who's never had more than 19 in a year. It just feels like Tennessee is kind of like Cleveland. If there's no A.J. Brown, they kind of just divide and conquer in the passing game.
They really do. I mean, they've gotten some nice contributions from Chester Rogers, you know, the former Colt. Josh Reynolds was a healthy scratch in this game, but my expectation is you'd see him healthy if A.J. Brown were to miss time. But, you know, whatever, whether it's Swain, yeah, obviously you've got Julio there. The tight ends are kind of it's sort of a receiver by committee, if you will. And I agree with you that I don't think there's anyone that I would be rushing to add. But I would say the converse of that is that I'm not panicking on Ryan Tannehill. We talked pre-game that we thought this was going to be a get-right game for Ryan Tannehill, that he'd gotten, you know, sort of unlucky and a bad call with a Julio Jones touchdown against Seattle in week number two. And so going against a Colts defense that has been really bad so far this year, that has been, dare I say it, Washington-esque in terms of how they defend the pass this year, that this was going to be a get-right game for Ryan Tannehill, and it was. And yeah, I do expect Tannehill to continue to be a borderline QB1, even if A.J. Brown were to miss some time. We're hoping for the best there. One thing I will say, though, to your point, is I'm glad you brought up the Derrick Henry thing. If you're redrafting today, is Derrick Henry the number one player in fantasy that you draft? Because I think he might be.
He might be two. He might be two.
Yeah, behind Cooper Kupp, right?
Travis Kelce, man.
Oh, behind Travis Kelce.
I mean, Kelsey's been great, too.
I mean, we don't talk about Kelce enough on the show because there's not much to say, but if we ever did like a 10-minute segment where we redrafted the first 15 or 20 players, Kelce has a legit chance, at least in my estimation, to be the number one player off the board. Daniel, what'd you have?
I want to ask a real quick question because obviously it's been 3 weeks of struggles with A.J. Brown, and obviously it's all dependent on a roster structure, and it's hard to talk about trades when it's for everybody. But if you're sitting in a good spot and you're 3-0 or 2-1 and you really like your team and the manager that has A.J. Brown is 0-3 or 1-2, understanding that there's an injury that they need to be able to start winning or it's out, is this one of those situations where you're saying, I'm going to try and buy low on A.J. Brown?
Good call. Yes and yes.
Yeah. Good call, Dan.
Yes, that's a great call. And absolutely, like, I want to hear from Stefania. Let's see how the week goes. Let's make sure this isn't like a Christian McCaffrey type injury where he's going to miss 8 weeks sort of thing. Yep. But assuming we get him back sooner rather than later, I like that call quite a bit because there is absolutely no question about A.J. Brown's talent or his role in this offense. I understand it's been a bit of a slow start, but ultimately I am not worried about A.J. Brown fantasy-wise as long as he's healthy. That's the question.
11 separate Titans got targets yesterday, so they are very much a receiver by committee, as Matthew aptly pointed it out to be. Stefania, let's go back to the injuries and just like the entire Giants roster right now.
Yeah, really, their entire pass-catching roster is dealing with virtually the same injury or some form of it. They've all had soft tissue injuries. We obviously know that Evan Engram came in coming off of a calf injury and Kenny Golladay dealing with a hip and a hamstring. And then in the game, Darius Slayton goes out in the first quarter with a hamstring injury of his own, is quickly ruled out, and not long after him, Sterling Shepard follows suit, and he goes out with a hamstring injury as well. So we're going to be watching all these guys. Evan Engram had some struggles, but he got through the game. Kenny Golladay was not in on every offensive drive, so you wonder if he was still feeling the effects of his recent hamstring injury.
And as we know, yesterday it was a game-time decision of the truest form for Kenny Golladay. The Giants did not release their inactives, much to my chagrin, until like 11:39. They're due by 11:30. Tough to understand that when you're trying to do live TV at the same time. Kenny Golladay, by the way, under 10.4 fantasy points in all three games this season. A slow start for him. Matthew, same thing here. So I'm going to quiz you. Do you know who led the Giants in catches amongst wide receivers or tight ends yesterday?
Among catches?
Not Saquon Barkley, besides
not
him.
Because Saquon got a ton of targets. I think it was Golladay.
Colin Johnson.
Colin Johnson.
Who I'm Slavin not even sure if most people early. Thought he was on the roster. Colin Johnson was claimed off the waivers from the Jaguars.
The former Jaguar,
Five catches, 51 yards, which I think underscores, Matthew, that we don't know what the extent is on the Sterling Shepard injury. We don't know what the extent is on the Darius Slayton injury. As much as you would think, and they drafted a kid 20th overall in Kadarius Toney.
And Evan Engram, by the way, two catches.
Yeah, it was plus
he was. Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. So it was kind of a – Engram was a non-factor in his return. Yeah. To me, Colin Johnson, by the way, had a nice camp. Like, a lot of people were surprised that Colin Johnson was a cut by the Jaguars. Yeah. But I can't imagine.
Surprising us in a lot of ways these days.
I mean, whole thing.
Save that for
the podcast. Here's what I would say. To me, the positive take, like, we'll sort out what the Giants look like. You know, tough game for Daniel Jones, who was streamed in a lot of spots, was on the live list. Loveless still got you 16 fantasy points, despite, you know. He was fine. But not what you hoped for. Here's what I will say. The fact that Saquon Barkley got the passing game usage that he did was encouraging. The fact that he played as many snaps as he did was encouraging. Yep. The fact that he got the touchdown. I mean, like, we said this on Fantasy Football Now. If he can't do it against Atlanta off of 10 days rest, then it's time to panic. Well, you know what? He did it against Atlanta. He was what you drafted him to be. So, big sigh of relief for everyone that has Saquon Barkley on their roster.
Over 84% of the snaps yesterday for Saquon and 21.4 fantasy points for the Giants star running back. All right, Stefania, back to you. And Pittsburgh also dealing with an injury on, well, a lot of injuries. Both sides of the ball. TJ Watt out on defense. But the offensive group got even thinner yesterday during the game.
Right. They already had Diontae Johnson out for the game. So you figure between Juju and Chase Claypool, that's where the action's going to come. Juju, who normally is in on virtually all the offensive snaps, only there about 40% yesterday, dealing with a rib injury and eventually ruled out for the remainder of the game.
All right. So as we saw, and by the way, we don't know anything further on Juju, as you know, as we say frequently on this show, Mike Tomlin's the best about injury updates. So if Juju's going to miss no time, he'll tell us. If he's going to miss some period of time, he'll also tell us that. Matthew, what happened yesterday was that Chase Claypool became the guy amongst the wide receivers, and then Najee Harris did his best Matt Forte impression yesterday, right? Najee Harris.
I was going to say, the guy became Najee Harris. I mean, like, Najee Harris led the Steelers in target share.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what was crazy about it.
19 targets yesterday.
19 targets.
14 receptions.
Yeah, for
that's like Le'Veon
yards,
Bell-esque. 14 for one.
No, that was Matt Forte, baby. That was what he used to do back in the day. Matt Forte would have like 100
catches.
But
here's what that was. This is what I said last week. This is what I've said, you know, said a lot last year. Like,
Big Ben thing coming up.
Ben is done. I mean, I don't know how you can. The Cincinnati Bengals, and I don't want to take anything away from them because that was a very good win for them.
Sure.
But the Cincinnati Bengals were in victory formation at Heinz Field. I believe the final score was 24-10, and it wasn't that close. Mm-hmm.
What's victory formation, Matthew?
I know.
I got to send you some films on it.
Okay.
But basically, when a team is winning and they've won by so much they no longer need to compete, they just basically take a knee at the end to run out the clock.
Right. What's winning, Matthew?
Yeah, I know.
Also, more
we got a lot.
Okay, all right,
A lot to get to. I mean, like, unthinkable a year ago.
Yeah.
There
have been some signs. It just, you know, Steelers, you gotta be careful. Steelers fans, deservedly so, very loyal to their quarterback, but at some point you gotta look in the mirror and ask yourself, are we a championship team with him as our quarterback? The answer is pretty convincingly no right now. But anyways, if Juju misses time and Diontae Johnson's out again next week, I think what we feel like is that based off yesterday, Chase Claypool slides into a top 20 wide receiver option, and Najee Harris is where he's been the past couple of weeks. He's been a top 8 running back each of the past 2 weeks. Lock him in for his pass catching duties. Yeah. One more injury here, Stefania. That's James.
And by the way, just real quickly off of that game, Bengals sneaky good. Like, I don't think they're great, good for the Bengals. Like, you know what? Their defense, I think, is punching above their weight a little bit, but good for them, the offensive line. And I get it. The Steelers were without TJ Watt, without a lot of their defensive starters, but still kept a fairly clean pocket for Joe Burrow. That's a good win for the Bengals.
Oh, I think
that's
I would describe it win. As perfectly clean. He was hit once.
I mean, like,
once.
That's a good win for the Bengals, man.
And they were
without T. Higgins too. Sure. So they were down one of their stars. Anyway, good for the Bengals is all I'm saying.
One more injury update here, Stefania, and you and I were sitting next to each other in the war room. And one of the reasons why I admire Stefania is not only because she's the best, but she. You do not put yourself out there in a way irresponsibly, right? When you think something's up, you'll point it out. When you're not sure, you stand your ground and you just, you know, you bite your tongue. Yesterday when James White went down, you said, Field, that looked kind of like a hip issue to me. We'll see what they say. And within minutes, we found out more.
Yeah, James White took a fall that was eerily similar to the one Ryan Fitzpatrick took earlier this year. When you land hard on your knee, you go down to the ground like that, you saw him roll over and he immediately reached for the back of his hip. And the reason being, when you land hard on your knee, it's driving that long bone, the femur, your thigh bone, back up towards the back of the hip socket. Now, in Ryan Fitzpatrick's case, he had what they call a hip subluxation, where it slips in the joint but doesn't dislocate, and it can cause a lot of damage to both the hip socket and the joint tissue. We don't know, other than the fact that it was a hip injury, any detail about James White's actual structural damage. I would expect that they're doing more detailed imaging today. They do things like 3D CAT scans, MRI, to get a clear picture of what's going on. But you saw him carted off. That's to protect him from weight bearing on it. I'm not even sure that he could have. But ultimately, this is a multi-week injury. At this point, I would just plan on that.
Yeah, and since I get there's a chance, it's not as severe as some of these other hip injuries that we have seen. But as Stefania said, today is a critical day for the follow-up evaluation on James White. For the Patriots, I think this is a conversation that extends beyond James White, because there's no Patriots running back that replicates what James White does. He's one of the best pass catching running backs in football, has been for a long, long time. They don't have a natural James White replacement. But maybe yesterday, when they were down big, will prompt them to open things up more. And I think Kendrick Bourne is a name that I'll monitor this week as we get into further Patriots conversations. You may have heard they play the Bucs on Sunday night. Last piece of news here is Josh Gordon.
Hang on. Can I ask you to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah.
Just in terms of, because I think people hearing that may be like, wait a minute. James White's a running back. Kendrick Bourne's a wide receiver. Can you explain your thinking there? Like, again, because I know they need pass protection for Mac Jones. I know they don't trust Damian Harris in pass pro, particularly. Like, Brandon Bolden and J.J. Taylor got some snaps after James White went down. Can you just expand on that Kendrick Bourne comment a little bit?
Right. What I said, though, was like, it's not exactly tied to James White. It's more that, like, they have not played well offensively this year.
This is correct.
Period. The best that they have looked, and this actually goes back to preseason as well, is when they've let Mac Jones operate out of the gun, play some tempo, and throw the football around. A reminder, they spent $12.5 million a year on Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, $11.5 million on Nelson Aguilar, $5 million on Kendrick Bourne. Like, you paid four guys a ton of money to catch the ball, not to block and play on special teams, right? And Kendrick Bourne, we were there together watching him play yesterday. Like, you're reminded why. He was a good player in San Francisco when he got opportunities.
This is true.
He looked good yesterday when he got opportunities. So I tend to, maybe the Patriots will remain conservative, but they're not good enough to win 20-17 unless you're playing someone like the Jets or maybe the Dolphins, who are limited offensively in games where they have to open things up and their schedule doesn't get much easier. I wonder if they'll look to a player.
They've been conservative, and so maybe he gets exposed more as they open things up. But I will say that it does not feel like, as you watch the Patriots, why are they 1-2? It's because of Mac Jones. You don't feel like he's the reason why.
I think the offensive line seems to be one of the big reasons why now. Good Lord, they can't protect him for much these days. All right, we're going to come back and talk about players who all of a sudden said they were back. But before we do that, you know, fantasy football is here, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, and the trash-talking of friends.
You suck, Field.
You don't mean that. And your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, he's good. Christian McCaffrey, he'll be back soon. CeeDee Lamb, he's awesome. Baker Mayfield, still good. They all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash-talking points that you need.
You smell like a possum, Field.
You take that back. And hey, this fall is a great time to up your game, too. And Body Armor has got you covered. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. It's more than just a sports drink, made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and there are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dye. Now through December 31st, buy any Body Armor product, upload your receipt at www.bafootballtailgate.com, and you'll be entered for a chance to win one of hundreds of amazing prizes for your next tailgate. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited, open to residents of U.S. 18 and older.
Academy Sports and Outdoors and Sarah Spain are teaming up to bring you two exciting episodes of her podcast. That's What She Said, featuring insightful conversations with captivating women who are blazing trails in the sports world and the great outdoors. Guests will range from a WNBA legend to a professional fly fishing guide to an NCAA conference commissioner. You'll hear from San Antonio Spurs assistant head coach Becky Hammon, ESPN star Laura Rutledge, hardcore carnivore founder Jesse Pryles, and so much more. These special episodes air in October, so be sure to catch That's What She Said, presented by Academy, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
You guys know that that gif of the guy who's like laying on the wrestling mat and then like he sits up.
Yeah, in the truck, the one in the truck that you're talking about?
No. In the wrestling mat where like he sits up. He's a wrestler. He's in like in a casket.
He's in a casket up from the side.
Yeah.
Right, and he sits directly up.
Yeah.
And it's like Back from the Dead.
Yes.
I think it's
The Undertaker.
The Undertaker, right. The Undertaker. Yeah.
I thought it was the
Undertaker. The Overtaker, yes. So
the Undertaker.
We're doing like sort of our own version of the Undertaker gif now.
Why don't you, for those people watching at home right now, why don't you do a quick impression of it?
Just lay down on the couch real fast.
Just lay down on the couch real quick. Social distancing
protocols. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is?
No, it's a little more sadistic when he does
needs to go. He needs to go further back.
Like Michael Myers.
Yeah. Anyways.
By the way, I think we've only talked about this gif 437 times on the show.
I think that was Fields' attempt at the joke. Just so you know.
Wow.
I love
that
Matthew
and Lady Fields joke. That's fine. That's so good. Fine, All right.
Fine, I'm sorry.
Leave the comment to me. All of you.
Okay.
All of you. Fantastic idea.
All of you, yes.
Fantastic idea.
Let's talk about it. That was meant as a dig at Matthew, by the way.
Players are back in a major way. That includes Josh Allen, who yesterday looked like Josh Allen. Josh Allen, who had 37.2 fantasy points, 358 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. By the way, just for good measure, literally just for fantasy purposes, he scored a late rushing touchdown.
Yes,
that was just charity. I loved it. You love to see it. Literally, the game was, they were up at like 42 points, and he runs like a 5-yard touchdown in.
They were smoking us.
We'll talk more about the pass catcher a little bit later on in the show, but for Josh Allen, just a reminder, guys, like, Week 3, still very early on in the season, your decision to draft Josh Allen, second amongst quarterbacks most likely, is not an ill-fated one, right? Like, Kyler Murray might end up being the quarterback that you wanted to draft first overall. Maybe it's Tom Brady, but Josh Allen's not a bust. He's not been. He will not be a player that you are not going to lose your league by using a premium pick on Josh Allen. He was great yesterday, and we'll see a lot more of games like this going forward.
We talked about this. He was on the love list last week. Like, stop with the panic on Josh Allen. Not really worried about it at all. By the way, Texans up next for Josh Allen. Then a shootout with Patrick Mahomes against Kansas City.
Let's go Sunday Night Football.
And then Tennessee. So 3 good matchups in a row for Josh Allen, who's basically matchup-proof anyway. But, yes, welcome back, Josh Allen.
What do you think the opening line is on that Texans game?
11 and a half.
11 and a half.
Field.
I will say 14 and a half.
What's the where's the game? Games is in Buffalo.
In Buffalo, yeah.
17 and a half.
It's currently 17 and a half. You are correct. That is massive number.
Well, 3 points for the home favorite, and then 2 touchdowns. Right. So
I understand how to get to 17 field, but I do appreciate
it. Way people are wondering why I'm picking favorite. That is that normally Vegas bakes in 3 points for home field advantage.
Correct.
Not always, but that's 98% of the time. And then I figure how many they're not a 10 point under. They're not a 10 point. They're at least a 2.
That's why I said 14 and a half.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
So. Goodbye.
Yeah,
you.
But
all
you
right.
forgot to add 3. See,
I did forget to add the 3. I didn't know where it was. Field had to ask the smart question of where it was. That was smart by Field.
All right. Anyways, let's move forward here. And we talked about Saquon Barkley earlier. Good to see him back. Let's talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire here for a second, because this was really, really encouraging in some ways, and yet I'm not sure I'm totally convinced. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 109 yards on 19 touches. He had 2 catches yesterday. He did fumble again, and he scored a touchdown. Clyde Edwards-Helaire scored a touchdown, Matthew.
Hallelujah.
So would you say that yesterday you felt like it was a turning the corner moment for Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Or was this like, hey, it was cool to see, but I still am disappointed in the value so far?
Why can't it be both?
I don't know. Maybe it can be.
See, I think it. I actually think it is both. Okay. I don't think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, over the course of this season, returns the value of where you drafted him.
Okay.
I think that's out the window, personally.
Yep. I agree.
Having said that, I do think he turned the corner somewhat. I thought that was an important game for him yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was important not only for him, but for the Chiefs.
Because they lost.
On fantasy football, yes. But on fantasy football now, Jeff Darlington, who does a great job for us, was reporting from this game. And he talked about the fact that this was, he expected this to be a get right game for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That a lot of talk over the week had been about the fumble that, you know, was such a pivotal play that allowed the Ravens to win the week before. But Darlington talked about the fact that, listen, that's not the kind of coach that Andy Reid is. Andy Reid is not a guy that will say, all right, go sit at the end of the bench. We're going to punish you. Andy Reid is a guy that will lean into it and be like, hey, we need to build you up. We need you to be a part of what we're doing here. And so Jeff Darlington said, I expect him to get the ball early and often and them to stick with him and them to do everything they can to get this be, to make this be a get-right game for CEH. And even though CEH fumbles again in this game, Andy Reid continued to stick with him, continued to put him into situations here. And while they did lose the game, I don't think that CEH was a part of, I mean, the fumble didn't help, obviously. But, you know, there were defensive lapses there as well. The line did not play particularly well. Mahomes was under pressure for much of this game. But so that, you know what I mean? Like, so I think better days ahead for CEH. I feel like this was a get-right game. So I think he has turned the corner. But do I think he's ultimately returning all the value that you drafted him at? No, I don't.
Yeah, Daniel, what do you got?
Real quick question. Yeah, a real quick question, because when I look at this, I think about the idea that as somebody that rosters CEH in two leagues, do you use this game looking at the next three matchups that he has, Matthew, as a way to try and look at potentially trying to move on from CEH, or is the value still going to be too low because you're just selling too low? Because next three games, Philly, Buffalo, and Washington.
To be honest, you know, none of those defenses really scare me.
You know what I mean? Like
Eagles have a good run defense, but I think you can attack them on the edge. We'll see how they play tonight. But I'm also like, it's the Chiefs. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, so you're sort of not worried about an offensive, you know. But to your point, absolutely. If you can get close to full value for CEH, I wouldn't mind just taking this game. Like, it's his first touchdown in five games, and who knows how long it'll be before he gets another one. Like, I wouldn't mind taking this game and trying to, I don't know that you're selling high, but selling it sort of face value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be out of the CEH business totally. As my number two running back. I will say that it also ultimately depends on what your record is, what your other running back depth is, and what you're getting for him. But I'm totally open to the idea of trying to trade him off of this game.
Yeah, Daniel, it's of course I'm interested in the idea of potentially selling high, quote unquote, right here, because I, like, as I've made it very clear, I'm still concerned about CEH. Like yesterday, again, I saw them run a draw with DeMarcus Robinson in the backfield. Yeah. They're giving wide receivers carries now, okay?
Oh, sure.
But by the way, like, we're sitting here jumping for joy over 16.9 fantasy points.
Yep.
Right, like Derrick Henry sneezes and he gets you five fantasy points in the first drive. Right, like I understand that he was not being drafted where Derrick Henry was, but like this was a good step forward. I would think most smart managers are not going to sit there and say, okay, yeah, CEH is back after one game. Like I should go try to acquire him.
Totally
if you
agree.
Can,
don't sell
I'm
him
cool
to a smart manager.
Right, all right. Well, then try to find a dumb manager. Try to find the Field Yates of your league and try to see if you could return some good value.
Yep.
One more here, Mark Andrews. Five catches on seven targets for 109 yards, 15.9 fantasy points yesterday. He had been struggling to start the season, Matthew, and he has not really been the touchdown maker that he was early on in 2019 and then also early last year, but at least a good sign here for Mark Andrews.
He's been running a lot of routes. He's been going out on a lot of pass plays. He's been getting a ton of targets. It just finally came together from week three. I'm not worried about Mark Andrews. This is what Mark Andrews is. I'm seriously I think if you're redrafting today, I think Andrews is still a top five fantasy tight end.
Right. Because again, like you look at some guys that struggled yesterday, like TJ Hockenson had what? Two fantasy points?
Yeah.
I would still take Hockenson ahead of Andrews. Sure. I ranked him ahead of Andrews going into the season, so I haven't moved Andrews ahead of him. I mean, I might move Hockenson above Kittle at this point.
Yeah. Well, Kittle had a nice night last night.
He did.
You know what, though? You know what this really reminds me of? So we're sitting here like, yeah, you know, like Mark Andrews has one good game. Like, he's still a top five tight end. Again, this is why maybe you should have taken Travis Kelce first overall. Seriously. Yeah, like, we're sitting here like, I mean, honestly, I don't know that that's that outrageous of a thought. I want to maybe vet that out a little bit more, have that conversation later this week. Like, I think there's a case that Travis Kelce should have been the first, or if you did it again today for the rest of the season, Kelce, rest of the way, most valuable player in fantasy football once again. Let's move forward to some season debuts. And Stefania, before we get to Justin Fields, we got a bit of an update yesterday.
And anyway, just to put a wrap on that Andrews conversation, because I think we went a little off the rails. I don't think this is a fluke. I think this is much closer to what Andrews is than the first 2 weeks here. Again, like it just, he had gotten a little bit unlucky in the first 2 weeks here. Again, he'd been, it's not like his playing time has gone down or the looks had gone down or anything like
There's kind of like a cutoff line for tight ends where, like, if you drafted them, you're committed to that player for the full
season. That's right.
Like, there's just not other options you can turn to, whereas wide receiver, running back, and definitely quarterback, you can.
You know what? We ought to come up with a phrase here.
Mendoza,
Daniel.
What's the line that you guys used to do?
Well, in poker, it's pot committed.
What was the line you used to do in fantasy baseball?
The Mendoza line?
Was it the Mendoza line?
The Wandy line.
The Wandy line. The Wandy Rodriguez. Anything. But when we used to do the baseball podcast, it was the Wandy line, the Wandy Rodriguez line, because basically any pitcher below Wandy Rodriguez was terrible. Like, right. it was just like right about like where that was like the last usable streaming pitcher you could do.
Who would it be?
But anyway, so we need a line like that. No, what I was going to say is, like, I was trying to come up with a line that's
pot
like the pot committed, which is like, that's a poker term.
Yeah.
Basically, like when you basically pushed enough of your chips in.
There he goes, explaining comedy again to us.
Now I'm explaining poker. Now I'm explaining poker to you guys. Explaining poker to you guys.
You're like, you are thanks, the dad, and you need to be on that, you know, unbecoming.
Can I show
your
parents,
you my? You're gonna explain everything to
can
us.
Can I show you my poker face here, real quick?
No.
Can I show you my real?
Let's stay on. Let's move the camera to Stefania real quick.
All right. Let me show you my poker face. This is pretend I have like a bad hand.
I don't have to pretend.
Okay. No. Now pretend I have a good hand. Can't tell the difference, right? Can't tell the difference.
For the audio people, just imagine.
Yeah, this is
imagine
so
what you're missing out on with the video. But
riveting audio right here.
Yeah.
And Daniel, next time we have a segment.
Wasn't
like
my idea to put this on
Daniel
camera.
Just have a guitar handy at all times?
I should.
All right, let's keep moving here. And Stefania, you did, or you were going to give us an update on Andy Dalton until Matthew
interrupted.
Matthew stuff.
Yeah, I'm used to it. Andy Dalton.
Comedy. It's called comedy. I know you guys don't understand it, but that's what I just did there.
Andy Dalton, not comedy, has a bone bruise in his knee. And it usually takes longer than a week for this to improve to the point where you can move as you need to as a quarterback. So I think the assumption people made was he was just going to miss this one game. I don't think that it's safe to say that that's the case. I think he could miss another game or two. They didn't put him on injured reserve because I think they're giving him a chance to come back. This is very much about how the pain goes for him and functionality for him over the next few days. So we'll see if he gets back in practice. That might be a good sign, but I would already think that they're leaning probably towards another week with Justin Fields.
Yeah, it sounds like that's going to be the case for at least one more week. And let's have this Justin Fields conversation thoughtfully, because honestly, Matthew, everything went off the rails. It's been a disaster on Twitter for, what's it now, almost 11:30. The game was over at 4, so I'm not great at math. But that's something like 16, 17 hours.
Right.
It's been a disaster. Let me just offer my 2 cents, and then we can also get into which will dovetail with the fantasy insight
sure.
Okay? I will, and I did listen to, I like listening to the station in general. I have a lot of friends who work there, but I listened to ESPN Chicago 1000, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood, the Cap and Jay Hood show this morning. I was like, I got to listen because I know they're going
to
have
listen
it.
Online? Or yeah, did you fly to Chicago?
ESPN app.
Oh, got it. Oh, nice.
No, I'm being serious here.
Okay.
I
was
I
too. I actually didn't know how you listened to it.
No, you can listen to ESPN 1000 through the ESPN app.
One app, one tap.
That's very cool.
Cappy
did not know that.
And Jay Hood, the Cap and Jay Hood were just on a heater this morning. I mean, it was it was epic radio, right? People are all fairly, justifiably disappointed in the game plan from Matt Nagy, right? And it's been, go check Twitter. You'll find out what the complaints are. Bad play calling, not enough move the pocket throws, not enough play action, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Justin Fields also bad yesterday. All right. Two things can be true. And Justin Fields was bad. And for our purposes, the play calling may or may not matter, Matthew. It'd be nice to see more design runs, but ultimately what matters is whether the player produces. And Justin Fields, if you started them yesterday, then you were severely disappointed. He had 3.9 fantasy points, Matthew. I don't know. And this runs counter to what I said. Maybe not. My feeling was I wanted to see 1 week of Justin Fields do it before I played him into my lineup. Now I want to see that week. And now I need to see it. Like, it's absolutely imperative that you see a week from Justin Fields before you play him into your lineup.
couple of things here. So first off, are we 100% convinced Justin Fields starts next week?
Well, I mean, based off Stefania's...
Nick Foles.
100, yeah, he's not playing. He's not playing.
Okay.
He's not playing.
I agree with you. Justin Fields did not look ready for prime time. And whether it's Matt Nagy's fault or not, I you know, we were watching in the war room yesterday, and Booger McFarland also watches with us, and this is something that he said in the war room, and he put this out on Twitter this morning, so I don't feel like I'm speaking out of school here, but he put this on Twitter. It's like, are we sure that Matt Nagy's play calling wasn't based off of what he thought Fields could or could not do based on what he's seeing in practice? There's a chance, and again, we don't know, but there's a chance that they tried to install a bunch of different stuff and just Fields wasn't getting it or wasn't able to execute it for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know what? We're going to stick with this stuff because this is stuff we think he's got a shot at. Again, we have no idea. But for our purposes, Justin Fields was bad. He was bad from a fantasy perspective. He was bad from a real life perspective. And I thought this was fascinating. This is a tweet from our friend Troy King at TKingMode on Twitter. Works over for our friends at Football Guys. And Troy put this out. Justin Fields had less rushing yards in week 3. He had 12. Than Andy Dalton had in week 1. Dalton had 13 rushing yards in week 1. Or week 2. Dalton had 25 rushing yards in week 2.
Wow. Crazy.
Justin Fields had less rushing yards than Andy Dalton had in either of his first two games.
The Bears had...
He was also sacked 9 times. And, you know, this is, I think... It's interesting. You should listen to the ESPN Daily with our friend Alex Smith talking about he was in a very similar situation being a new quarterback. And he talked about the scar tissue that can come from a guy who's not ready, being put into situations too early. And and that may be part of the reason that they've been holding him back is because they feel he's not ready for these situations. And this is not if you don't find a way to get out of these situations now, you can set this quarterback up for failure for the long term.
So there's two big takeaways here. Let's spin this forward to a fantasy conversation here, Field Yates. You write the free agent finds column every single week.
Yep.
And there's a number of good quarterbacks that are still out there in a variety of leagues, right?
Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr,
even Daniel Taylor Jones. Heineke, like a bunch of junk time. Taylor we'll Heineke's been a good fantasy quarterback. So there's a number of guys, Daniel Jones, et cetera, et cetera. Is Justin Fields, because we kept talking about it, and I'll own it. Like, I was just like, Justin Fields is a sleeper, top 15, blah, 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 blah. Like,
no, he'll get there.
Is he welcome to Dumpsville? If you have Justin Fields on your roster, are you dropping him for a Derek Carr, for one of these, you know, Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, one of these guys that is really sort of, you know, lower tier quarterbacks that have played very well this year.
I'm assuming that you're asking me, like, I'm assuming in this scenario, Justin Fields is not my starter, right? Like, he's my backup, right? Because if he's your starter, then obviously you have to drop him because he's not playable this week, at least until you prove it. If he's not, then I'm holding on to him. Because for as great as somebody like Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr and Sam Darnold and others have been, right? Like, how many of them have the upside in a given week if the Bears get their heads screwed on straight, and Justin Fields progresses, it becomes more comfortable that he has, right? I mean, it follows a lot of the same logic that we had any other athletic young quarterback, right? That he can just rush for 75 yards in a game and a touchdown, and that's a 13.5-point cushion that Derek Carr, he may get you 20 rushing yards in a game, and that's a good weekend for him. So, no, if I'm stashing a quarterback on my bench, I'm still interested in the long-term upside of somebody like Justin Fields. And if 3 weeks from now he's back on the bench and he has just as little inspiring a performance this Sunday as it was yesterday, then I understand that. But for now, I'm sort of hanging tight with him as one of my favorite stashes because we saw it in college. This guy's super uniquely talented. It just might take some time.
The question is when will it? I think it depends on your situation, your league size, how quickly you could replace a quarterback. I will say that, like, I kind of buy Derek Carr. Like, a couple of them, like some of the guys out there.
Yeah,
I
totally.
Mean, Derek Carr doesn't have the name, but Derek Carr is as legit a top 12 fantasy quarterback as anyone. Like
he's close. He's getting there.
I mean, like 300 yards passing. I want 9 straight or something like that. Here's the other question. Then let's spin it forward to the rest of the Bears players next week. What are you doing if you've got David Montgomery or Allen Robinson? Starting them?
Yeah, you probably have to start David Montgomery only because, as we talk about all the time with running backs,
right.
like. There's just so few options.
If it helps, they're playing the Detroit Lions next week.
Oh, that does help. It helps,
but they played frisky defense yesterday,
right?
They did. They did. They played really, I mean,
yep,
doesn't matter in the big picture, I'm sure, but they played frisky defense last week. And
they got a little jobbed and like a delay of game. Like, anyway, whatever. I feel bad. As much as I like to make fun of you, Daniel.
Oh, I know.
I legitimately feel bad for you and all Lions fans. I feel like that was heartbreaking.
It was
like
a tough one.
Props to Justin Tucker for an unbelievably clutch kick.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
sure.
History-making kick, but legitimately feel bad for the Lions because I think they impressed a lot of people. Like, they are, you know, credit to Dan Campbell and his staff because they have bought in.
Let me just answer that last thought on the pass catchers in Chicago real quick.
Yes, sir.
If you play in a two running back, two wide receiver, and flex league, this becomes more viable. Like, if you just struck gold with one of your 7th, 8th, 10th round
Mike
picks.
Mike Williams.
You dropped a Mike. You grabbed a Mike Williams, a Hollywood Brown, just as examples.
Jamar
two
Chase.
Of many. Jamar
yeah.
Chase.
Yeah, he fell.
Then Allen Robinson could be out of your lineup.
Yep. Sure.
Or at least, like, quote unquote, move to your flex, as in, like, he is not one of the two starters at wide receiver. If you have a three wide receiver league plus a flex, like, it just becomes that. If it's a 12-team league, like, you're probably still playing him. Or if you just, like, if you failed the draft and you just had no luck with your mid to late round picks. But it's tough right now to watch that Chicago offense. Other side of the ball.
It
same
is.
Same game.
But, yeah, I mean, I'll probably, when my initial ranks come out, my guess is that I'll have Allen Robinson as a top 30 play this week.
Yeah, I think somewhere between 22 and 30, somewhere in that range. Yeah.
But for a guy that's normally been, you know, borderline top 12. That's
22 and 30 against a Lions secondary. Like, that's where we're ranking Allen Robinson because of how bad Justin feels. Like against
the offensive line.
Well, on the offensive line. Right. And by the way, the Lions have played decent defense.
Yeah, they played okay.
They've been gutty.
In all honesty, they didn't play great pass defense. I mean, there should have been like four more touchdowns scored against
them. Marquise Brown had a couple.
They were
drops.
In his head. Yeah. They were in his head for the drops. Yep. All right, we got to keep moving here. A couple more debuts, Matthew. I'll just keep it quick here. Odell Beckham Jr., I thought looked good yesterday.
I agree.
Played a ton of snaps, had 9 targets, 5 catches, 77 yards. That's about what you're signing up for from Odell Beckham Jr. right now. I know that the touchdowns, you'd love to see a touchdown as well, but if you were disappointed in what you saw from Odell yesterday, I don't know what you were watching. Good day for Odell Beckham Jr. Looking forward to seeing him get back on track.
By the way, I just want to add, because obviously I was looking at him for different reasons. Mm-hmm. It looked really good in terms of how he was moving. He had some great footwork on one catch he made on the sideline. He talked afterward about being exhausted and gassed, and that was part of what you would expect for somebody coming off the injury that he had. So I think he gets more involved as his football conditioning gets better as well. Remember Jarvis Landry out on IR.
Love to see that. Speaking of IR, Stefania Tua went to IR on Saturday for the Dolphins, meaning he will miss at least 2 more games.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting here is I would have thought he could maybe have beaten the timeline back. I think there was potential for that. This makes it easy for the Dolphins to not have to answer the is he back or is he not questions. Look at that 4th week. They play in London. Mm. Really makes you wonder, is that the week they bring him back that first eligible week, or did they wait until the following week when they're home?
Yeah, do they have a bye following London? Teams have the option to elect
into. I believe their bye is until very late. I think they have one of those December byes.
Yeah, some teams prefer not to take that bye after London. It's almost like for Miami, it's London is the same distance, I think.
And I think they're playing Jacksonville. It's like the two Florida teams are going to London.
How about that? There you have it. But Will Fuller made his debut for the Dolphins yesterday. Obviously, was suspended for week one, missed week two due to personal reasons. 3 catches on 6 targets for 20 yards. He did have a 2-point conversion late in the game, which tied the game for Miami. My quick takeaway, Matthew, is just simply that, like, this passing offense, there's zero vertical threats. How about this? This is amazing. And this ties into Jalen Waddle and Will Fuller. Jalen Waddle had 12 catches yesterday for 58 yards. That's the fewest yards by a receiver with at least 11 catches ever. Ever.
Yeah.
Jordan Matthews had the previous low of 11 catches for 65 yards. So 12 for 58. Did you see my meme I made last night? It was pretty good.
You're looking at somebody who has Jalen Waddle and Allen Robinson on her War Room League team.
Yeah, well, but Waddle's fine, though, right? You'll take 12
for 58. Not when they're playing together in 1 week like
that. No, but 17.8 fantasy points is plenty good
in
War Room League, right?
My top two wide receivers in the War Room League are Robbie Anderson and Robert Woods.
Hey,
I would kill for 17.8 right now.
Why didn't you just draft better, Matthew?
I should have drafted the good players.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I drafted better late.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
True.
Like, I have Emmanuel Sanders in that league. I have Jamar Chase in that league. Like, I drafted better late. But, yeah, Robert Woods and Robbie Anderson have been two of the biggest busts.
Tough.
through 3 weeks. Really? There's no question about that. Like, just
to clean this up,
a miss by me on both those guys.
Dolphins do have a week 14 bye, just at, you know, to cover that up as a part of what we were talking about.
By the way, you should download, or you should subscribe to rotopass.com next year.
I
help
appreciate
you draft
that.
Better.
I should.
We're going to do some quick hitters presented by Geico in just a second. But before we get to those quick hitters first,
before we get to that, I just have to take 1 minute to apologize to the drunk kid from Tulane that was arguing with me. I told him Juju over Jalen Waddle, and then Juju gets hurt very early into that game and leaves. Waddle has 12 for 58.
Like, the best part was, like, his logic was so backward, right? He was like, he just needs one. He only needs one play.
Right, exactly.
Meanwhile, he has 12
catches. His logic was completely
in,
and they can't predict an injury. You know what I mean?
Like, you want to take tomorrow off and I'll have that kid come on and sit with you? Does that work?
By the way, if he was sober, he might have, like, been a little more clear.
You know what? I need closure. I need to know. I need
what
to
he actually did.
I need to know what he actually did and whether he's going around Tulane.
And did he pay your son yet?
I got to find all that out. I'll report back tomorrow.
Okay. If he's walking around Tulane going, I am better than Matthew Berry.
Yeah, probably. Listen. Listen, there's a lot of kids walking around a lot of colleges saying I'm better than Matthew Berry. Let's be clear about that. On this campus as well, on the ESPN campus. Honestly, anyone that meets me, you're better than me. Let's leave it at that. Yeah.
Hey, quick hitters coming in just a second. But first, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet, actually, I know it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Grab a 5-hour energy shot to stay alert and watch all your favorite games. Or if you stayed up too late to see that intense Green Bay 49ers game, take a 5-hour energy shot in the morning so you can start your day and hopefully forget how that game ended for you if you were a 49ers fan. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-hour energy website has flavors galore like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. There's literally a flavor for everyone, and you can try them all. On the site, they even have this cool option where you can build your own 12 or 24-pack. You choose the flavors, and it's delivered right to your door. So if you go to 5hourenergy.com, that is the number 5hourenergy.com, you can get some 5-Hour Energy product today. Use our promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. This offer is only valid until September 30th, so get it in quick, and it's on one order, cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on subscription orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com today.
Time now for Week 3 Quick Hitter, presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com. And we're calling these Quick Hitters for a reason. The Buffalo passing game was productive yesterday. We talked about Josh Allen. He had 4 passing touchdowns. That's the good news. The bad news is, if you have Stephon Diggs, you're saying to yourself, what happened to the guy that was the best receiver in fantasy last year other than Davante Adams, Matthews? He's been held under 70 receiving yards in all 3 games this season. Quickly, is there anything you can do other than just wait for better days ahead?
Wait for better days ahead. Okay. I think they took what Washington gave them, which was a lot. Mm-hmm. By the way, Beasley was wide open. Sanders was wide open. You know, Dawson Knox made an unbelievable catch. Diggs is going to be fine. I'm not worried about it.
5 for 92 and 2 touchdowns for Emmanuel Sanders yesterday. Meanwhile, Cole Beasley had a Cole Beasley day. 11 catches for 98 yards. Beasley's rostered in many more leagues than Emmanuel Sanders. Do you think that's smart? Do you think that makes sense? Like, you agree that that's how it should be, right? Like, there's just so much more value.
I think Sanders is a top pickup this week.
I'm on the waiver wire.
No, I mean, would I rest the season? I think Sanders has more of a. I'm sorry. I think Beasley has more of a consistent role in this offense as the slot guy, as sort of the security blanket for Josh Allen. So yes, I think he's got the higher floor. But I do think Sanders is a thing. You know, I mean, look, Sanders is somebody that has run a ton of routes, been getting a lot of targets, and just he's missed. If you watch those Bills games, like, they've come like this close to connecting on a lot of plays weeks 1 and 2. They're just, the timing was a little bit off, and obviously it all worked for Josh Allen and Emmanuel Sanders on Sunday against Washington, because let's face it, everything worked against Washington on Sunday. I do think, so I guess my point is, I don't think Emmanuel Sanders is a fluke. I think he's going to be a big part of this Buffalo passing offense, which is going to be one of the best in the NFL. But yeah, I agree. Both guys need to be rostered, Beasley and Sanders, and I'm not worried about Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, the logic here is basically just like, as much exposure to a dynamic passing offense as you can get is a good thing. So Sanders belongs on benches for now, at the very least. Real talk. If you were to redraft right now, we've already established that Travis Kelce, clear-cut number one tight end, maybe the number one player in fantasy. Derrick Henry, maybe the number one player in fantasy. Who's the first wide receiver that goes off the board for you?
I think it's still Devontae Adams, okay. But after that, it doesn't take a long time to get to Cooper Kupp, my little Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. He's got five receiving touchdowns already this year. That's two more than he had last season. He had 9 catches on 12 targets for 96 yards yesterday, Matthew. I mean, we've seen him play great in small doses in the past. Is there something different about this, though, you think, or no?
I think it's twofold. First off, I think healthy, right? Stefania, okay. I think it's a couple things. First off, fully healthy, right? Okay. And Stefania can talk about that. Secondly, I think it's the quarterback.
I was going to say, yeah, it's Matthew
Stafford,
I mean,
it's
right?
Matthew Stafford and just his comfort level. I think that's one of the concerns that you have with Robert Woods. And I think it's, and we'll talk about that in a second, but in terms of Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford has just added a dynamic.
Nope.
Dynamicism.
Dynamicism is the one I wanted to stick with.
That's a close word?
Good. Yeah.
to this offense. He's added a dynamic element to this offense that wasn't there before under Jared Goff. And Cooper Kupp, my little Cooper Kupp, has always gotten a ton of red zone looks in Sean McVay's offense. Sure, he's always been somebody. And so it's just a much more efficient, better offense with Stafford under center. And so Kupp just does so many things well. And it's not fluky. I mean, again, like tons of targets, tons of receiving yards, and of course the touchdowns have been there as well.
They're
5
huge
touchdowns. I put this out on Twitter yesterday. Week 1, he had over 100 yards. He had a touchdown. I want to say he had 7 receptions. That's his worst fantasy game of the year so far.
Pretty crazy. How about this, though? I think one thing that's worth noting is you look at offenses that are doing more and more of this near the goal line. Kansas City, Los Angeles Rams are examples. The Packers do it. They also run the ball effectively at the goal line. Is that the Rams' best goal line option right now might be throwing the football, especially with, yes. Darrell Henderson's not a power running back. Sony Michel is fine. Actually, I thought he looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, I do.
But still, not like this Rams passing game might be just as potent from the 5-yard line and in as a power run that Cooper Kupp might have 4 touchdowns this year of 5 yards or less. And that could be the difference between him finishing as a wide receiver 11 overall versus wide receiver 5 overall.
Great route runner, very creatively used in the passing game in a variety of different looks, really terrific hands, tough as hell, you know what I mean? Like, takes really strong hits, and so it is clear that Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, and the offensive staff of the Rams love themselves my little Cooper Kupp, and I'm willing to share him with those people.
Are you still
so magnanimous of you?
Are you still Woods.
Yeah. Are you still starting Robert Woods? I mean, has he gotten to the point, like, is he still at least a flex play, or are you considering benching him with how it started?
So I'm going to go through the same logic I just used on Allen Robinson with Robert Woods here, right? Like, if you struck gold in later rounds of your draft, you landed a Jamar Chase, or you landed somebody that's been really consistent so far this year, I'm fine with demoting Robert Woods. A Deebo Samuel, who I don't think he was going that late, but the point is that those guys are just too good. You can't even think twice about them. At the same time, like, if you told me that next week he has 20 fantasy points, I'll go, okay, that sounds about right. But just a 1 week, this is like a timeout, right?
I'll tell you this. If Robert Woods has 20 points next week, trade.
What's most concerning to you?
The fact is, and I watch those Rams games closely. I watch every game closely, but especially closely because I have Woods in the War Room League, right? He doesn't look at Robert Woods. He's not getting high. He's not getting a lot of targets.
Interesting.
Stafford doesn't even look towards Woods' side of the field a lot of the time. And the other thing is that they really like Van Jefferson there. Mm-hmm. They really like, when we heard Lindsay Theory on Fantasy Football Now, another great call by Lindsay Theory. Fantasy Football Now, she talked about this Sunday morning, how they want to get DeSean Jackson involved and look for them to take some shots. Obviously, that worked out very well.
Yeah,
Higbee's a big part. All of a sudden, that one of the benefits, there were two benefits, 3 benefits of Robert Woods previously, fantasy-wise.
Okay.
Here's the 3 benefits.
Okay.
Number one is very narrow target tree.
Okay.
Like, they just didn't, it was really him and Kupp. That's all they really had.
Yep.
All right. And so it was those two guys.
Okay.
And then I guess they had Brandon Cooks there for a little bit too, but it was really Woods and Kupp. The second thing is that Jared Goff was not a quarterback that really read the field particularly well. Robert Woods is such a precise route runner that was what Jared Goff needed. Jared Goff was more of a rhythm quarterback who really needed a guy that could go, 10 yards and go in, right? And so Robert Woods would run these precise routes, and Sean McVay was calling the plays literally in Jared Goff's head. So that worked out well. And then the other thing is that I guess it's those two things, really.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Right, and by the way, here's the other thing, is that Jared Goff also wasn't as comfortable throwing downfield as Matthew Stafford is. So it's kind of two sides of the same coin, which is the change in quarterback from Goff to Stafford, I think, hurts Robert Woods, because they want to – Stafford isn't scared to throw it deep to a Van Jefferson, to a DeSean Jackson, to just fling it around and also to spread it around a little bit. And also the things that made Robert Woods great under Jared Goff are not as necessary with Matthew Stafford. And they also have more, again, they really like Van Jefferson there. They like Tyler Higbee. They want to get all those other guys involved. He got 6 targets last night, but by the way, so did DeSean Jackson and Van Jefferson and Tyler Higbee. They all got 5 to 6 targets along with Robert Woods. He does not look, if you watch any of those 3 games, Robert Woods is not a priority. Cooper Kupp is.
Okay, that was a lot, and that was compelling. I'm more confident, but all the points you made are astute and worth keeping in mind as the Rams season progresses forward.
I will happily trade you Robert Woods in our War Room League.
I bet. How about this? I say Robert Woods finishes a top 200 wide receiver the rest of the season.
Well, listen, I do. I could take that bet. You know why? Because I'm so far ahead in our board bets.
Yeah, wow. We made one yesterday, but we got to keep moving here.
Can we get into that? Like, when are we getting into the Kenyon Drake, Peyton Barber thing? That's what I want to know.
We'll get into that tomorrow. We'll get into that tomorrow.
Tomorrow? I wore this shirt specifically.
Well, you'll have to wash it or just leave it on and sleep in it and come back in it tomorrow.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
You assume he does laundry. That's weird. Yeah. Time for our unexpected performance brought to you by EA Madden NFL 22. And how about this? Christian Kirk quietly has 60 or more receiving yards in all 3 games this season. And yesterday he had 7 catches on 8 targets for 104 yards. And Stefania, I want to talk about Christian Kirk, but part of this may tie to the fact that DeAndre Hopkins did not look himself yesterday.
He didn't. And, you know, we talked about him a lot on the show yesterday because of the rib injury. And we talked about how he doesn't miss games, only 2 missed games in all his career leading into yesterday. And even though he didn't practice all week, that's also something that we've seen before from DeAndre Hopkins. And he still has produced outside of a couple of outlier games where he hasn't been himself. It would have been impossible to bench him, right? If you have DeAndre Hopkins, you know he's always a threat to make a score. And he was targeted 6 times, even though he only had 3 catches. But you're right. You know, he didn't look like himself. And obviously the effect of the rib injury. I think if you look at AJ Green in the day he had the same number of targets as DeAndre Hopkins. Mm. So I think he was not able to make the plays that he usually would, but I'd expect him to be better next week.
By the way, AJ Green has his first 100-yard effort as an Arizona Cardinal. So I'm going to use some similar logic to the Bills offense as I am going to use for the Cardinals offense, or I guess same offense for the Cardinals as I did the Bills. Matthew, which is just that, like, Chris Kirk's a talented guy, right? Second-round pick out of Texas A&M.
Digging Maggies.
Good players, had good moments, but not consistently at the level that we sort of hoped for, but this offense right now is humming in a way that few offenses are even capable of, that you want as much of it as possible. I think Christian Kirk needs to be rostered in significantly more leagues, and maybe
do you?
I do, yeah. I mean, why? What makes him less valuable than Emmanuel Sanders?
I think because, for me, I feel like there's a more narrow target tree with Emmanuel Sanders. Weirdly, here's what I like. Huh. Like, so here, you got Christian Kirk. Mm-hmm. You got AJ Green, who's actually had a couple productive games.
Okay.
You obviously have a target monster in DeAndre Hopkins.
Banged up now.
And right. But you have Rondale Moore.
Right.
Like, you got 4 viable guys that have all had productive fantasy games over the first 3 weeks this season. Hang on, though. And then you've got Chase Edmonds, who's used enough in the passing game to take some targets away. I guess my point is like, do I think that this is Christian Kirk's last fantasy productive game of the year? I don't.
Yeah.
I think Christian Kirk's going to have a number of productive fantasy games. Do I think I'm going to be able to have any idea of when those are, or when it's going to be a Rondale Moore week, or when it's going to be an AJ Green week? I don't. That's my problem, is I just don't think that.
Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, Emmanuel Sanders, Gabe Davis, Isaiah McKenzie, Dawson Knox, Zach Moss had some catches yesterday. Like, I don't know that that's that dissimilar. I think that we can agree to disagree on this one. I think that Christian Kirk deserves to be rostered in more leagues. We'll talk about him more.
He's
on
super talented. It's just, the question is just whether knowing when to start those guys. That's the problem. I agree with you that it's a great offense. I agree with you that Christian Kirk is a talented player. I agree with you that he's going to have more productive fantasy days. But I also think it's just like, Like every week, it's a different guy in Arizona. That's the concern here.
Quick update from Stefania on the Bears quarterbacks before we address something important on the way out of the show today.
Yes, Matt Nagy saying this morning when speaking to reporters that they are still working through who their quarterback will be this week.
Okay, so they will figure out. That's interesting. Maybe Matthew, I don't think Nick Foles doesn't play, but if they go to Nick Foles, that would be
That's something else.
It would be quite damning.
That would be must-listen radio to Chicago. ESPN 1000 in Chicago.
They certainly always are.
It would be a good week. Be a good week for ESPN radio in Chicago.
We're back tomorrow to talk about waivers and everything else that we always do here on the show. But before we say goodbye, we wanted to talk about something that happened recently over the weekend, and it's incredibly sad. The fantasy football community might be one that you think of as competitive, but more than anything, it's familial. It is a bunch of people that have a shared interest in a silly game that has brought all of us so much joy and pleasure, and in our cases, fortunately, a living as well. Mike Taglieri, many of you may have followed him on Twitter, listened to him, or followed his coverage at Fantasy Pros, lost his battle with COVID-19 recently. He is survived by his wife, their family, just 39 years old. Incredibly sad, an all too stark reminder of just how fragile life can be. I'm not sure that words could adequately make up for what his family has lost. But Matthew, we are extending our condolences and prayers to his family during this very, very difficult time.
Words are inadequate, right? Words are inadequate. And, you know, anyone losing their life is awful. Anyone with a wife and young children losing their life is awful, especially at 39. So many people have lost this battle. But especially for us, I think it hit home in a significant way because Tags was somebody that was not only beloved by his fans, but also by the fantasy community. He was very much a supporter of other people's work. Him and I would often DM about various things. We had some calls about career advice and just sort of what was going on in his life and in mine. And he's always been incredibly gracious with us here at the Fantasy Focus show. If you followed our show for a while, you know that we mentioned this a while ago, that we were rooting for him in his battle. It was incredibly disheartening and awful and upsetting to hear over the weekend that he'd ultimately lost his battle. There is a GoFundMe that both Field and I have tweeted out. And I think if you just search on Twitter, or actually, you know what? Reach out to his wife at Tabby Talks is her Twitter handle. And you can find that link if you can afford to do so. I know that the Taglieri family would certainly appreciate your support. But we just here at the 06010 just want to, listen, we all want to do well and we're competitive. But I agree with Field that at the end of the day, the fantasy community is a big family, and all of us support and play this game. And when we lose one of our own, it's heartbreaking and it's devastating. And the world is a worse place than it was a few days ago without Tags in it.
I would say the one thing to carry it forward, a positive message, is that he followed his passion. And that's always been one of my mottos, is to follow your passion. And he switched careers, made a career out of fantasy football. And as somebody who did the same thing, essentially followed their passion, that really resonated with me. And it's a reminder to live life to the fullest and stay true to what's important to you in your heart. And I think that's what brought him and his family so much joy.
Yeah. You guys have already said too much. I'm just going to say, if you want to find Tabby on Twitter, it's at T-A-B-B-I-E Talks, at Tabby Talks, if you want to find her.
Well said by everybody. We appreciate you all being patient with us today. And we'll miss you, Tags. And we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for watching the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by EA Madden NFL 22.
Much love to Tags.